Welcome back, everyone, to another deep dive. This time we are tackling this ceasefire between Israel and Hezbollah. It's been all over the news the last couple of weeks, right?
Yeah, it's been unavoidable.
It seems like they've finally agreed to at least lay down their arms for now. But what does that actually mean? Like, is this actually going to hold? Is this real peace or just a pause?
That's the big question, isn't it?
Yeah. So to try to figure this whole thing out, we're going to look at two pretty different sources today.
Yeah.
On the one hand, we've got this in-depth report from Reuters. You know, they're generally considered to be more on the left side of things.
Mm-hmm.
And then to contrast that, we've got this article from Breitbart, which, you know, is generally seen as being more on the right.
Yeah, for sure.
And let me tell you, the way these two sources frame this whole ceasefire, well, let's just say it's a pretty fascinating case study in how different narratives can be.
Yeah, it's like looking through two different lenses at the same picture.
Exactly.
And it really highlights how the way a story is told can shape our understanding of what's actually going on.
Okay, so let's dive into this. First off, let's talk about Netanyahu. Both sources quote him, you know, talking about the ceasefire.
Right.
But the impression you get from each is, like, surprisingly different. Like, what's your take on that?
Well, it's all about what they choose to emphasize. Like, Reuters, for example, really focuses on a Netanyahu statement where he talks about maintaining complete military freedom of action and responding forcefully to any violations of the ceasefire. You know, so it kind of paints this picture of him being ready to jump back into the fight at any second.
Yeah, that doesn't exactly inspire a ton of confidence in the peace agreement, right? Like, how solid can the ceasefire really be if he's already talking about potential military action?
Exactly. And that's a key difference in how these two sources frame the situation. You know, Breitbart, on the other hand, focuses on Netanyahu's declaration of victory and how committed he is to making sure that Gaza is no longer a threat. It's a much more, like, you know, triumphant narrative focused on strength and resolution.
So it's like Reuters is saying, hold on, folks, this might not be over yet. And Breitbart is already, like, declaring a decisive win for Israel.
Precisely. And that difference in tone, it carries over into how they present the timeline of the conflict, too, and what actually triggered it in the first place.
Yeah, the time, that's another part where things get a little murky. Reuters presents it as, you know, just a continuation of the Gaza war from 2023, implying that it's been this long, simmering escalation that finally boiled over.
Right.
But Breitbart claims that Hezbollah actually started the conflict back in October 2023 by firing on Israel in solidarity with Hamas, which is a pretty big difference in how they frame the whole thing.
Huge, yeah. I mean, it really raises questions about which version is more accurate, and, like, getting the timeline right is super important for understanding why each side did what they did.
Totally. And speaking of conflicting narratives, the way each source presents the casualty figures is pretty striking.
Oh, yeah. That's another major point of divergence.
Like, Reuters cites Lebanese sources saying that over 3,750 people have been killed in Lebanon and over 1 million have been displaced, which, you know, really paints this stark picture of the devastation and human cost of this conflict.
Those numbers are just heartbreaking.
They really are. But Breitbart doesn't give any comparable statistics for Lebanon at all. They just focus on, you know, the deaths of Hezbollah's senior leaders and the damage that was done to their infrastructure.
It's like they're telling two completely separate stories about the same war.
Right. It's that emphasis thing again. Reuters is highlighting the human toll on the Lebanese people, while Breitbart is focused on the tactical losses suffered by Hezbollah. And this pattern, it continues when we look at how they analyze Hezbollah's strength after the ceasefire.
Yeah, it's almost like they're describing two different outcomes for the same group.
Right. Like, Reuters quotes a Hezbollah parliament member, suggesting that the group is still a force to be reckoned with. It's almost like they're saying, hey, we're still here. Don't underestimate us.
Yeah, that's a powerful statement. It really challenges the idea that Israel won a decisive victory. It suggests that Hezbollah, even with the losses they've suffered, still holds a lot of power and influence in Lebanon.
But Breitbart paints a totally different picture. They emphasize how much damage Hezbollah took and claim that they've been set back decades.
Right. So depending on which source you read, Hezbollah is either licking its wounds, but still a major threat, or they've basically been neutralized.
Yeah, it's wild. Okay, so we've got these totally different interpretations of what this ceasefire means. But what about the reasons behind it? Why did this ceasefire actually happen in the first place? What were the main motivations for each side, especially for Netanyahu?
Well, that's where things get even more interesting, because there's actually some overlap in the analysis from both sources. Both Reuters and Breitbart suggest that Netanyahu has multiple motives at play here. Like, they both agree that Netanyahu wants to shift his focus back to Iran and replenish Israel's weapons supply and, you know, try to further isolate Hamas. Those are all things that align with Israel's long-term goals in the region.
Okay, so even with all their differences, these sources can at least agree on some of the basic motivations here. It sounds like this ceasefire is about more than just stopping the immediate fighting. It's also about setting the stage for, you know, future strategic moves.
Exactly. It's like a chance for Israel to take a breather, regroup, and plan their next steps, whether that's dealing with Hezbollah, Hamas, or even Iran.
Right. Like, this pause gives them some breathing room.
Yeah, and it's interesting how Breitbart adds another layer to this.
Oh.
They also frame the ceasefire as a way to give Israeli forces a break. You know, like, they've been fighting hard, they need time to rest and recover.
That's a good point. It kind of humanizes the situation. It reminds you that even when one side is declared the winner, there are still real people on the ground who are exhausted, people who need time to heal.
Yeah, exactly. And it speaks to Breitbart's audience and their message, you know? By highlighting the toll this conflict has taken on Israeli soldiers, it creates this sense of empathy and reinforces the idea that the ceasefire isn't a sign of weakness, but a necessary step to take care of the people who've been fighting on the front lines.
That makes sense. So we've got these overlapping but subtly different interpretations of Netanyahu's motivations. But what about the people actually living through this conflict? How are they reacting to this ceasefire? I'm guessing our two sources have some different perspectives here, too.
You guessed it. Like, Reuters points out that even while the ceasefire was being negotiated, there were still reports of fighting.
Wait, really? So they were still shooting at each other while they were trying to agree to stop shooting at each other?
It sounds crazy, but yeah. It really shows you how deep the mistrust is between these two sides. Even with a ceasefire in place, the tension and the potential for violence are still there.
That's a scary thought. It makes you wonder how long this peace can actually last. So what about Breitbart? What do they have to say about how people are reacting?
They focus on the division within Israel itself. Some people are relieved. You know, they see the ceasefire as a chance to de-escalate things and avoid more bloodshed. But others are skeptical. They doubt that Hezbollah will actually keep their word, and they're worried that the fighting will start up again soon.
So even within Israel, there's no clear consensus on what this ceasefire means or if it will hold. It sounds like everyone, both in the region and around the world, is holding their breath to see what happens next. It feels like we've only scratched the surface of this whole situation. What stands out to you as particularly noteworthy or thought-provoking about these contrasting narratives?
What strikes me is how these two sources using the same set of facts can come to such different conclusions about the same event.
That's a good point. It shows you that even when we're talking about something like a ceasefire agreement, there's always more to the story than meet to the eye. It really highlights how important it is to seek out different perspectives and think critically about the information we're getting.
Exactly. It's not about saying one source is right and the other is wrong. It's about understanding that every source has its own biases and agendas. By recognizing those influences, we can start to piece together a more complete picture of what's really going on.
So it's less about finding the truth with a capital T and more about understanding that there are multiple truths, or at least multiple interpretations of the truth. And it's our job to sort through those different perspectives and form our own informed opinions.
Right on. That's where critical thinking comes in. We need to ask ourselves, why is this source emphasizing this particular angle? What are their motivations? What information are they highlighting? And what are they leaving out? By asking those questions, we become active participants in understanding the world around us rather than just passively absorbing information.
It's like we're detectives trying to solve the mystery of this ceasefire. We have these two contrasting accounts, and we have to figure out what really happened, what the motivations were, and what the consequences might be. Speaking of consequences, it's easy to get caught up in the immediate aftermath of something like this ceasefire. But I keep thinking about the long-term impact. How is this pause in the fighting going to affect the overall situation in the region, especially with Iran being involved?
Yeah, that's the million-dollar question. Remember, Hezbollah is backed by Iran, and they have their own interests in the region.
Right, they're a major player in this whole geopolitical game.
Exactly. So this ceasefire, while it's focused on the conflict between Israel and Hezbollah, has the potential to ripple outwards and affect Iran's influence in the region. It could also have big implications for the conflict between Israel and Hamas in Gaza.
It's like we're watching this high-stakes game of chess, and every move could set off a chain reaction. The ceasefire might be a temporary break from the fighting, but with all the tension and the complicated alliances in the region, it's hard to say what's going to happen in the long run.
It really is like a tangled web. You pull on one thread and it could have unexpected consequences somewhere else. We have to consider how this ceasefire might affect Hezbollah in the long term. Will it make them stronger or weaker? And how will it affect Iran's strategy? And what does it mean for the Israeli-Palestinian conflict? It's all connected.
Yeah, you're right. It's a good reminder that things in this region are rarely isolated. Everything is tied together somehow. So as we wrap up this deep dive, what are some of the key takeaways for our listeners?
I think the biggest takeaway is the power of perspective. We saw how two sources reporting on the same event can frame it in completely different ways. It really shows how important it is to be critical of the news we consume, to question our assumptions, and to look for different viewpoints.
That's so important these days, especially with the way news is now. We're constantly bombarded with information from every direction. It's easy to get caught up in one particular narrative, but taking a step back and looking at things from different angles can help us get a more complete understanding of what's really going on.
Absolutely. And it's not just about spotting bias in the media. It's also about being aware of our own biases and how they might affect how we see things.
So it's a two-way street. We need to be critical of the information we're taking in, but also be mindful of our own preconceived notions.
Exactly. When we engage in that kind of critical thinking, we're able to move past simplistic explanations and really grapple with the complexities of the world.
This whole deep dive has been like a masterclass in critical thinking and media literacy. It showed us that even something like a ceasefire can have all these layers of meaning and different interpretations.
And that's what's so great about exploring complex issues. It challenges us to think critically, question our assumptions, and come away with a more nuanced understanding of the world around us.
Well said. So to our listeners, thank you for joining us on this deep dive into the ceasefire between Israel and Hezbollah. We've looked at the different narratives, explored the possible motivations, and considered the long-term implications of this fragile peace.
And remember, this is just the start of the conversation. As things continue to unfold, keep asking questions, keep exploring, and keep those critical thinking skills sharp.
That's a great point. With that thought-provoking reminder, we'll wrap up this deep dive. Until next time, keep diving deeper.